So Tuesday afternoon, last Tuesday afternoon, Christmas Eve, my wife and I are with another couple. We're out in Berkeley having lunch. And we're waiting for our table, and the other people are out shopping. And I'm sitting on a bench, and I get a phone call from Kristen. And she said that Johanna's not feeling well. Would you speak this Sunday? And Johanna, if you're watching, feel better quickly, please. And I said, sure. I love speaking in front of this group. I mean, look at all these beautiful faces in the room. This is so cool. I love speaking up here. And usually when I know I'm going to speak, stuff flows a little bit and the faucet gets turned on more and more, right? So Tuesday, I started thinking about it, and the faucet never turned on. And Christmas came, and the faucet kind of started, you know, those rusty faucets that kind of open. That's what happened here. And I got this hit that, like the title says, the gift is you. And when I get a title, the faucet opens more. Well, the faucet didn't open. And it's Thursday, and I've got 2 days to come up with something so I can sound like I deserve to be up here, right? And so I go to the Unity Digital Archive Museum. Now, if you don't know about the Unity Digital Archive Museum, it just came up. It came on board a few months ago, I believe, and it's got thousands and thousands, that's not an exaggeration, of Unity documents from way back when Unity's movement first started by the founders and by other folks who brought this Unity movement to us. I got to read a talk on Christmas by Charles Fillmore from 1923. And he was talking about Christmas. You know what he was talking about? No. That's actually really wrong. He was talking about the commercialization of Christmas. 101 years ago, right? He was talking about how people are stressing out because they want to do the perfect Christmas. He was talking about that people want to give the perfect gift, you know, and we were losing the spirit of Christmas. So I've never, ever, in my 20 years or more of studying Charles Fillmore, said, oh my God, Charles, you're wrong. And what he said was, we should stop giving gifts at Christmas. And I went, Chuck, no. Because I love giving gifts at Christmas. I love receiving gifts at Christmas, right? And I understand what Charles was saying. He said that what we should do instead of gifts is give Jesus Christ the Word, right? And what he meant was to give the Christ Spirit to one another, right? Myrtle, Charles' wife, and if you don't know, they both co-founded Unity together. Myrtle says, let me quote this for you. She says that, God, I lost it. See, this is what happens when you don't have 100 hours to prepare. Anyways, she says it would be much more in conformity with the Christ Spirit to use the time in sending out to our friends the joyful thoughts that come spontaneously from the Christ of love. Now, automatically, I thought of Christmas cards, right? And that's a very good idea, right? But no gifts, come on, that doesn't work for me. And so I came up with this title, right? And the title of the talk today is The Gift is You, right? And so But on my notes, it says the title is, You Are the Gift. So that's how coordinated this talk has become, right? Because since I sent Unity my title, The Gift is You, I changed the title to You Are the Gift. And I didn't know that until I got here this morning. And Bob said the title, and I went, what? I did? Okay, whatever. Right? But we can do both. We can give gifts, and we can share the word. Right? We can share the word through our gifts. Right? When you buy a gift for somebody that you really use your intuition to buy the perfect gift, that's giving the word, right? That's giving love, right? You ever give somebody a gift that you're really excited about giving them a gift? And it's Christmas and the tree's up and you can't wait for them to get to your gift for them to open it? And then they open it and it's just this sheer joy, whether they're 5 or 85. Right? It's just, you've given them joy. You've given them abundance. You have brought more life and more love into their life than before they unwrapped that gift. That's how you can be the gift. Right? And it's so, I love gifts. I love giving gifts. I love receiving gifts. Right? When I was about 18 or 20, I was showing a friend of ours the gifts that I had bought for my family. And she said, boy, you really think about your gifts. And now that I know what that was about, is that was the only avenue I had at that time in my life to really express who I was, to really use my intuition. Because at that point in my life, I couldn't express myself at all through the circumstances. And so that's what Christmas giving means to me, right? Now, if you want to talk about money, we need to talk about that because I have trouble with giving money. But I have no problem giving gifts, right? Because that's who I am. I love giving them because I bring joy to people. And I love receiving them because not only do I get joy, I get the joy of, I get to let somebody give to me, right? Receiving is just as important as giving because when we receive, we give the giver the blessing of giving themselves, right? So receiving a gift from somebody is just as important as giving from somebody. I remember I had a big, big 50th birthday party, and I wrote on the invitation, presents, spelled P-R-E-A-N-T-S, are not required. Your presence, P-R-E-N-C-E, is. And then they all brought me presents because that's what you do. But they didn't need to, right? And so the big proponent, to, I don't know if that's the right word. The most important part from you in this whole equation about gift giving and gift receiving is your intuition, right? That's the part of you that doesn't think about things. So I don't know about you, but this happens to me when I get a really great spiritual idea, right? So it's 5:30 in the morning, and I wake up. And I haven't let the world into my brain or into my emotions yet. And so I get this beautiful, wonderful spiritual idea. I say, I'm going to do this. And then 7 o'clock rolls around, and I get up, and then, you know, you do your morning thing, you have breakfast. well, maybe I shouldn't quite do that idea this way. I'll do it this way. Then 9 o'clock rolls around. Well, maybe I should change a couple more things about this idea, because that's, and then noon comes, and I think, God, that's a dumb idea, right? Because I've gone from total intuition about just being me until starting to think about the world, right? Eric Butterworth says that Jesus' spiritualness came from intuition, not tuition, right? So it came from who he was and not what the world told him he needed to be or told him what he was, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Tuition is great, right? I mean, we can learn a lot from the outside world, and we can incorporate it to enhance our love, to enhance our spiritualness, to enhance our intuition, right? But we get in trouble when we let that world squash our intuition, right? Because we are God. We are oneness. There's no connection to break, right? We always are God. It's just how much stuff that we've put on top of that consciousness that keeps us from feeling who we are. This happened last time. I just went blank, right? That always happens when you public speak. You just go blank for a second. Normally, it lasts a few seconds. Right now, it's lasting a little more than a few seconds. But I'll get back to this. So I think I came up with a theory. And the theory is this, that Santa and Jesus are on the same mission. Right? So Santa and Jesus, same mission, to bring gifts of love and prosperity to help us grow on your path into our Christ consciousness and our abundance. Jesus brings gifts of our spiritual consciousness. Santa brings gifts of community, our brother and sisterhood. Jesus brings gift of love and abundance. Santa brings gifts of giving and receiving. Jesus and Santa bring gifts of wisdom and a gift to see others. And so that's what I feel, that's how I feel the Christmas spirit. You know, now we all know, or maybe you don't all know, but it's becoming more and more knowing that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. He was actually born more close to the Easter, right? But through the decades and the centuries, Christmas has become this celebration with the tree and with the lights and, you know, on December 25th and, you know, but the spirit is there, right? I mean, last week, Kristen talked about the spirit of Christmas. And what's come through over the years is that we Americans, right, and Europeans, because we're the ones who celebrate Christmas, we've brought it in and made it our own, right? And for me, growing up, when I grew up, Christmas was just a really special day, right? Because that's when I would get gifts and I think people liked me and loved me, right? Which is okay, right? But I've come to feel that Christmas isn't as special as it was when I was a kid, But it's not because I'm not a kid anymore. You know, people say we have this inner child, which may be true, but I don't have an inner child, right? I'm me, right? And if I'm that person who gets excited about a gift or when the Niners score a touchdown, that's not a kid. That's not a kid. That's me, right? So this is who I am. I don't have any kid in me. And so to me, Christmas is not so much not special, but now I get to carry Christmas with me every day, right? And it's special time because now it's focused, because that love is focused throughout the community, right? It's not that it wasn't there. It's this that we've made it into this time of focus for that love, right? And it's really hard to feel like the love that we feel at Christmas on Monday, March 19th, right? Or July 25th, Tuesday, right? It's hard to feel that specialness. But like the song said that they sang earlier, we can always return to love, right? And we can always get that feeling of love and peace and joy on August 12th, on a Wednesday, that we get on December 24th or December 25th, because it's always there. It is never not there. There's a book called Heart Center Metaphysics by Paul Hasselbeck. And Paul Hasselbeck used to be the dean of Unity's spiritual educational school. And this is a really, really fun book. Well, I wouldn't say it's fun. Deep meaning book if you ever want to study metaphysics. And I want to read you something. Oh, God, where'd it go? Here it is. Okay. So how do you know that you're the gift? Right? When is that feeling? How do we get that feeling of we're the gift? Right? We all know we are the gift, but how do we feel it? Right? How do we understand that we are? So I'm going to read three statements here. The first statement is about our purpose. And it says, our purpose is to express our divine potential that is inherited in divine ideas. And for me, divine ideas is our intuition, right? That's what shows up at 5:30 in the morning, right? Or whenever the call comes. He goes on to say, when we are aware of our purpose in life, we find a joy and a zeal for living, right? So you felt that. When you really are your true self, there's a zeal there, right? You get this feeling, you get goosebumps, right? It's like Charles says, I'm awake, I'm enthusiastic, and now I forgot the third part. There you go, thank you, that'll work. I'm sizzling with zeal. Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you guys are here. The second thing is he talks about is divine will. He says, divine will is simply that we experience and manifest as much of absolute good as we can at our current level of consciousness. Right? So wherever you are on your path, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. If you walk your path every day, where you are is the perfect place. I had a 12-step sponsor that when I would call, whether I was happy, sad, mad, angry, whatever, and he'd listen to me. And then he'd say the same thing every day or every time. He would say, "You're right where you're supposed to be. Great." "You're right where you're supposed to be." But he was right. Right? I mean, if you really feel who you are at that moment, that's who you are. That's where you're supposed to be, and that's perfect. The next thing is the divine plan. He says the divine plan is what we ultimately create using divine guidance to discover, unfold, reveal, and express the composite divine idea. Or as I would say, your intuition, right? So there is no blueprint, so to speak. There is no divine blueprint, but it's where you are at that moment, right? And what you feel you need to do or want to do to express the goodness within you, to express the love within you. Right? And then that's the plan, is to do what's in front of you, right? Because if you start playing for the future, you're not in the present, right? And if you're not in the present, then you're not going to be in the level of consciousness that you are on your path. And so let's get back to the gifts, because I love the gifts, right? So the next time you give a gift to somebody, know that you are there for them, right? And when somebody wants to give you a gift, which is the hard part, right? How many people have a harder part receiving than giving? Yeah? Nice, Carl, you don't like it. Let them bless them with letting them give you a gift, because that's what they want to do. And not only are you not letting them give you a gift, you're not getting that blessing that's going to take you to a different level of your consciousness. Because we're in a community, as Santa is teaching us, right? We're in a community of our brothers and sisters. And to be able to take in their love is just as important as giving out your love. Taking in their love is going to enhance your love. It's a symbiotic relationship. That, for me, that's the Christmas spirit. Right? I love going to the mall on December 24th. I don't love the parking lot, but I love being a halfback in the middle of the mall, dodging back and forth. I love that stuff, right? It just brings the Christmas spirit into me, right? And it's like this. I'll go back to this song. It returns to love, because that's what it is for me, right? And I just walk through the mall and bless everybody. You know, I wear my Darth Vader Christmas sweatshirt, and I just walk through the mall blessing people, right? And I can, and it's kind of a mission for me, because I know I love Christmas, and I know why I love Christmas, and there's a lot of people in the mall who are stressed out, right? And don't get to understand what the real Christmas is. And maybe they do when they get home, but at that moment when they're in the mall and they're trying to find that perfect gift, they don't. And so somebody like me gets to walk by and go, "Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas." To me, Merry Christmas is a hug. Merry Christmas. So if you want to, turn to somebody and say, Merry Christmas. So you may think this Christmas talk may be about a week late, but maybe you can think of it as 357 days early. So either way, when you leave here today, I hope you're able to really understand that you're the gift, or the gift is you. And if ever you have the impulse to buy somebody something or give something to somebody, from whether it's your closet or your attic or Macy's, right? Whether it's August 5th or March 14th, right? Whenever you feel like giving somebody a blessing, give it to them. And know you deserve to give them a blessing because it comes from you. From your core, from your being, from your soulness, from your love. Because if you're sitting here in the Unity Chapel, you know your love. And you know it's up to us, each individual, to express the goodness that we are. And it doesn't have to be December 25th. And it can be in the middle of a mall, right? It can be anywhere you get that feeling. But just run with it. Go with it. Enjoy it. Because that's who you are. And there's no better gift. No better gift than you. Than you. Than you. And it's my pleasure to receive your gift. Thank you. I did it again, didn't I? I come up with this big, wonderful ending, and then I got to come back and read the affirmation that I always forget. Encore. Okay. So please read this with me. Okay. I am the perfect expression of the Christ Spirit. I am the gift. And you are. Thank you.